From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, we hear, "In those days a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to a city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all.'" The word of God for the people of God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a dad and a little girl were coloring. I love to color. It's one of my favorite things. They were coloring. And they were drawing pictures. And they were drawing a picture of the Nativity. And they were drawing together. And the dad started asking questions to the little girl. "How come Joseph is mad? He looks angry. And look, he's stomping his feet." Well, the little girl said, "Well, duh, Dad, he wanted a girl." When you think about it, the circumstances of the birth of Jesus are just strange. They're odd. They are. Here we are at the culmination when the seasons of Advent and Christmas weave together to open our eyes to God who is all around us if we have eyes to behold God's coming. But beware, my friends. Beware, like 2,000 years ago, God might come in a way we least expect it or want. Most of the people back then, well, most of the people missed it. Will we? I think the coming of Christ is a lot like the spreading of cow manure. Just breathe that in for a moment or two while I share this true story. When I lived in Mesa, our house was on a half an acre. We had a ginormous lawn in the backyard, and every October I planted rye grass seed in my yard. I went about it in an orderly way, straight lines, up and back, back and forth. I seeded my lawn. I went about the task in an orderly way, straight lines, back and forth. I made sure I covered each and every nook and cranny of the yard. I was very methodical. I didn't want any bare spots. I did it for my home all those years. I also did it for the church lawn as well. I've done it so many times, I could do it without thinking about it. It's just second nature to me. However, it wasn't that way on the first time I was going to do it. That first time, I really didn't know how to do it. I had read about how to do it, but I didn't know how to do it. So I talked to an expert, my sister, who worked for a landscaping company. She knew how to do it. They did it professionally. I asked all the how do you do it questions over and over again because I wanted it done correctly. Now, the evening before I was going to do it, I was discussing this job over dinner with my family, what I was going to do, precisely how I was going to do it, and I was excited, I was nervous, all at the same time. Now, that first time, Ruthie was age 4, and she listened very carefully. She knew I was going to do something very important, and so she wanted to be involved, and she wanted to help me. Now, imagine for a moment, here I am about to do something that is important to me, and I'm doing it for the first time. And my number one helper is going to be an eager 4-year-old. I don't know how many jobs you have done, important projects, with an eager 4-year-old. Fortunately, I had. This wasn't my first rodeo. This was our third child. I had experience with helpful 4-year-olds. And I was less than pleased she wanted to help. More than that, I really didn't want her to help, the truth be told. I didn't want her to get anywhere near what I was doing. I wanted it done my way, the correct way. But I was conflicted. I didn't want her to stop her desire to help, but I didn't want her to help. So I decided I would scare her off. Give her some side unimportant job. It was a win-win situation. I built up the side job in her mind so that she would feel like she was really helping. That was my plan. I'd get everything done my way, win-win. What could go wrong? Yeah. Well, my scare tactic was simple. Just explain that the material I was topping the grass seed with was essentially cow manure. So in a very, very dramatic way, I told her, oh, this is a big job. Oh, yes, it is big. And for you to help me, you're going to have to touch cow poo-poo. And a look of terror went on her face, and she was obviously conflicted. She hesitated, but I could see her heart and mind and soul processing all this information. This is important. I want to help. Cow poo-poo is gross. Important. Gross. Important. Gross. But before I could jump in and seize the moment and redirect her to a side project that I had carefully planned out for her, to my chagrin, she dove right in. Literally. Dove right in. Her 4-year-old hands were grabbing fistful of manure from the bag, and she ran across the yard, and she started tossing it high into the air and spinning and dancing under the flying dung, and she was doing pirouettes under the flying feces, and sure you laugh, I wasn't laughing. I had an important job to do. That's not the way to do it. Now, I do need to confess, I'm not the kind of dad that would be concerned one bit on how I was going to get that stuff out of her hair, or how I was trying to get all that stuff out of the small crevices of her ear that was now raining on her. Or I wasn't a bit concerned with how I was going to get her clean, or her clothes for that matter. That didn't bother me at all. I was absolutely worried, however, about the task in front of me, getting the lawn done correctly. It needs to be done in an orderly fashion. Straight lines go up and back, back and forth, covering the lawn neatly, completely, no mess, no bare spots, and it was too late. But then I reflected, and I thought, this is how God must feel. You and I rush in wanting to help God in all kinds of situations. We're doing our own crazy, unique thing, and cow poo-poo flies everywhere, and it usually ends up a big mess with us covered from head to toe in dung. And then I thought further and deeper. Maybe I wasn't playing the role of God in the drama. But the little 4-year-old Ruthie was. God comes to us doing pirouettes with cow manure, and we say, that's not the way it's done. Mercy and grace aren't given to perpetrators. The rules say punitive, not reformative. And the unwritten rules are clear. Race and economic power, well, they matter in our justice system. When all God wants is fairness for all. Civil rights, oh, they're not extended to undocumented. Justice demands it. You have to have the correct paperwork to do it correctly. You have to fill it out correctly or out you go. Medicare, no. Medical care is for those who can pay for it. Those are the rules. The rest get to suffer and die. Equal rights, no, they're only for people who look like us, love like us, act like us, look like us. Our society tries to do things in orderly ways, in ways all of us must follow. And we miss the divine moment. Mary and Joseph and the newborn babe didn't fit the rules. They didn't mesh with the forecast. If you and I had a vote, we would have voted them off the island. A child before they were married? The rules said Joseph could have stoned her to death, and it would have been perfectly legal and acceptable. But grace won the day. I would have thought she was too young to handle all of that. But courage won the day. Even the place, Bethlehem, that was a one-horse town. We wouldn't have selected that either. Yet here we are, celebrating the birth of the child born in a stable that would change the world. The birth of a child surrounded by cow and goat and sheep manure. Will we miss the divine moment? I think Christmas Day is all about opening our eyes to God, who is literally all around us, if we have eyes to behold God's coming. But beware. God is going to come into our lives, maybe as a child doing pirouettes while spreading manure, or as a person who society says doesn't deserve grace or justice or any kind of welcome or inclusion. God is coming and is indeed here now, and things get messy when God's around. And we will most certainly feel our heart, our mind, our soul conflicted from time to time. Should we follow the rules or do what righteousness demands? Rules or righteousness? Rules or righteousness? Society or God? Life is an important big project. But we don't do it alone. We have each other. And we have a God who is in our very midst. And together, God has created a church that refuses to follow the rules of a heartless society. Whenever we make the conscious choice to live God's justice for all people, God's grace for all in society, and provide an extravagant welcome for all, we experience the divine. And so on this holy of holy days. For the newness of birth and the birth of hope, of peace, of joy, and love, I say thanks be to God, and let's just let it fly. Amen.